Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers, here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
That it is.
That it is.
That it is. Oh my gosh. What a crazy May we're having.
May is always crazy.
Just busy, busy, busy.
What do they, I think May has all these nicknames for that reason. It's like, year, you know, it's 1 year in 1 month.
Oh, there you go. That sounds, that feels about right. That actually feels completely right. Oh my gosh. I mean, I think I'm kind of happy we're getting towards the end of May. We've had event after event after event. No complaints.
Right.
Because that's all good. Taking Sonoma County wines out and about. Also inviting people here. So, I mean, frankly, I'm still catching up on sleep from the Healdsburg wine and food experience.
Well, it's a good thing there's a 3-day weekend.
I know, right? I mean, I need it. But so that was awesome to have thousands of people in town enjoying our grand tasting last weekend and all of the ancillary events showcasing our local makers, the farmers, the growers, the chefs, the winemakers. What a great event. Super excited in the fourth year and another successful Healdsburg event.
Okay, but is that all?
That is not all. I mean, it's kind of just goes back all the way to the last weekend in April. I mean, we were in Mexico City for 4 days doing wine events there and wine dinners and trying to help our winery partners get an importer and a distributor, given kind of the crazy times in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And then we came back and rolled into the Minnesota Wine Festival, where we took 20 plus wineries to Minneapolis and did another 4 days of events. Are you sensing a trend here? It's like we go somewhere and then it's 4 days of events.
4 days of events. And
then with Healdsburg, four days of events.
You like a good 4 day event.
Right? I mean, why stop at just an afternoon when you could actually do 4 days worth of stuff in a market? So,
well, that's more impactful, I imagine.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, it leverages all the traveling dollars. It sort of helps us connect with as many different audiences, you know, for the winery partners and the growers as possible, whether it's media and SOMS, as well as obviously consumers, where, you know, and seeing some of our partners. So we're actually, this weekend, we're in Seattle. So yes, we are pre-recording this. Okay, there you go. The secret's out.
Not sleeping.
Well, not sleeping.
You could sleep.
I could sleep. I'll sleep
in Seattle
tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Or sleepless in Seattle?
It was
jump bump. See, Jeff, our producer, liked that one. Thank you, Jeff. So currently we're in Seattle. It's our first Sonoma County Wine Fest in Seattle.
Okay, so what does that mean?
What does that mean? So Landry's, our partners with Landry's, we've done a number of events with them, including Mexico City, but we were looking kind of for markets. Obviously, they're based down in Texas, and so we were like, what other markets could we partner on to, you know, bring Sonoma County wines to consumers and SOMS and others? And they have the Palisades restaurant up in Seattle, and so they said, let's do a wine fest right there on the water. So 24 wineries in a general tasting, 2 wineries in the VIP, and really exciting. So it's our, we'll kind of see how it goes.
So walk around tasting, people can try lots of different wines.
Food from the Palisades. Yep. And I think, you know, it's end of May, so knock on wood, everything's going well up there and it's nice weather.
I think it will be. Yes. Yeah, definitely.
I do remember my in college, my big summer internship was at Nike in advertising in Portland. And I arrived like early June, right after like the rain had stopped, and left kind of end of August. And I was like, I don't know why people complain about the Northwest and like the bad weather. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, you completely missed the entire rainy season. So
they have beautiful summers and it stays light really late.
Yeah.
It's a totally different vibe than January.
Yeah. And I think you get the summer just in time so that you aren't like,
so
just
you don't
when
move.
Yeah, so you don't move. Like, just when you're like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, it's summer.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. That's kind of how the Midwest was. Chicago was like that when I lived there. I was like, no more snow. And then you'd have this like false hope 50 degree day where you literally felt compelled to wear shorts, even though here on a 50 degree day, we'd be bundled up.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, it's all about, you know, context, I guess.
Yeah. Your growing conditions.
Your growing conditions, which is so important.
Yeah. Are you finicky and hard to grow, or are you hardy?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Are you Cabernet Zin or are you Pinot Noir?
Yeah, I think I'm Pinot Noir.
Yes. I probably, most likely.
What about, was there some other activities going on with Guild Psalm? Is that related or?
Yeah, separate. But every year with Guild Psalm, we do a series of master classes around the country. And this past week, we had our 3-hour master class in Kansas City. And
fantastic.
Yeah, the first Sonoma County class we've done there, maybe ever. So kind of trying to go to some smaller markets and meet new Psalms and buyers. All part of the plan.
All part of the plan. All right. Well, we will be back soon to introduce our guest on today's Good Stuff. Joined us today on The Good Stuff, our guest in studio is Christopher Streeter, co-founder, co-owner of Senses Wines. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, so happy to be here.
Good to see you. I mean, it's been a little while in my case, but always good to hear good stories. So where to even begin? I mean, there's...
At the very beginning. That's where we always begin. We begin at the beginning.
Well, we begin at the beginning, absolutely.
That feels like a Winnie the Pooh something, like... Where do you begin? We begin where you begin.
Something that Piglet would say
or
to Piglet. Pooh.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Piglet's more the brains of the operation.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm defending Pooh.
I mean, Pooh forgets to wear pants.
Well, that's fair.
Details.
He doesn't forget his honey, though.
Yeah.
No. He's obsessed with that. So, Christopher, tell us, you're a Sonoma County kid. We know this about you. We know this a lot about Senses. Senses is a great Sonoma County brand. But... tell us about growing up here.
Oh, man. It is, I feel lucky being born and raised in Occidental. You know, Max, Miles, and I, we've just been in Occidental pretty much our whole lives. Feel lucky. Like, just being able to wake up under the redwoods, see the redwoods, have access to the coast, have friendly neighbors. Like, working in Occidental, the Union Hotel, the pizzeria, like a high school job. Like, these were like...
right? That was your high school job?
Yeah, it was my high school job. I always had cash on me, so I was very popular. Like, but I also always had, like, leftover pizza or breadsticks. I mean, come on, that was a staple.
Well, but talk about Occidental a little bit, because we have folks that are not from Sonoma County. So paint the picture of what Occidental is like, because that is, like, a perfect story.
It hasn't changed much. And talking about the restaurant is perfect, because there's, like, two Italian families that pretty much developed this, you know, town, and it's like a couple, you know, Italian restaurants, lots of redwood trees, but it's kind of the capital of the small towns out there.
Yeah.
So I think, what, maybe 1,000 people, very small neighborhood, but like a very special place, tucked away off the coast and like kind of in between Sebastopol and Bodega. Mm-hmm. But you won't go there unless you kind of go a little bit out of your way.
Yeah.
And so I think it's like, it's a little slice of heaven. And like I was alluding to, like growing up, you know, building tree forts, climbing redwoods, collecting bugs, like getting to know the neighborhood. Like that was like, that was a jam. Wine and grapes were not really a thing. I mean, they were around, but like very little.
Yeah, not as much.
Yeah. Very little.
Not there. Probably considered not there. Too cold, right? Yeah. Originally in those days.
Well, it's funny because when Max's dad and mom planted their original planting, the Terriot Vineyard, back in the 80s, like everyone told Max's family, like, you are crazy. Why would you ever plant grapes this far west? They will not ripen. Mm-hmm. So it's a fact. I mean, nothing was really out there. We were born in the 80s.
Heard the other story, because I think it was my husband's family, the Duttons, that planted that vineyard. Yeah. And my husband says, we kept going to my dad, Warren, like, why are you making us go out here? This is insane. Yeah. And off they went. So, everyone thought it was crazy.
But what's crazy is Max's dad was so stubborn. And I'm sure his mom to some degree, but really, I think this has been attributed to his dad. He loved the way vines looked. It was like a landscaping thing, almost as much, or if not more, than having actual grapes. And he loved Chardonnay so much that he wouldn't plant Pinot, which everyone recommended. So I'm sure there was a lot of like questioning, what are you guys doing? But that's Occidental. It's like foggy mornings, foggy evenings, cool sunlight, and then just hilly, but like really ridgetops, which is so pretty. Mm-hmm. You never really realize how good you had it until you like go away. And that's what we all did. We all went away and went to school and this and that. But you come back and you're like, oh, gosh, like this is it. There's a reason why we're, you know, why we started this company and came back to Occidental.
But what brought your family here? I mean, you mentioned Max's, you know, Max's family did plant a vineyard and kind of wanted maybe the beautiful landscape and a place to live outside of a city. But what about your parents?
It's actually crazy because Miles, Max, and my family, all three of us, the parents, obviously, they were the ones that had the vision. They all moved to Occidental in the 80s to raise their family in the countryside. Max's family, I think, just loved the area, the coast, you know, kind of the farming side. Miles' family really loved the horses and like a farm, like truly farm, whereas, you know, I think Max's family maybe more the vines. I don't know. Like, it was just a beautiful spot. And my parents, my dad knew the area because both of my parents grew up in Marin, but my dad loved coming up and spending time in the forest. It was kind of like he was a forest guy. Huh. And so he somehow convinced my mom to move up to Occidental, which is quite remote when my both of my parents were commuting down to Benicia, at least my dad, and then my mom to Novato every day. And my dad would leave at like 2 a.m. and come back 2 p.m, which had one heck of a side benefit that we got to spend our childhood with my dad. Oh, so, you know, I feel like I scored, but it's kind of like a happy coincidence that they found Occidental.
I love that.
I do love that. And all coming at the same time. So did you meet in kindergarten?
We did. And, you know, Max's family and Miles' family knew each other a little bit before because they were both in South Bay. But it's actually preschool. Miles and Max went to the same preschool. I went to one right down the street. But yeah, we literally have been friends since childhood, preschool, kindergarten. And Miles and Max, their birthdays are a week apart. So we have so many joint birthday parties. Wow. Like it really is insane how much time we have spent together.
I feel like I'm reading a bit of a fairy tale at this point. It's amazing.
When we say it out loud, it's always like, wow, like we grew up here, so we did this, and we're still friends. That's the biggest thing. And everyone says, don't go into business with your friends. But let's be realistic. If they're friends you fully trust and you love, like, and your families go all the way back, like, you're gonna always be there to support one another.
They're family. They're not friends. They're family at this point.
That's
right?
Fair. Mm-hmm.
So when did you all? So you said you went away. Max was a child actor. He's still an actor. So he did he leave kind of first?
Technically,
some ways?
Yeah, because I think he started doing that in high school, and then. You know, I think soon afterwards, I think he actually kind of took the diploma thing to finish school early, and he was acting. Yeah, so by the end of school, he was doing official acting. I remember because there was like a premiere for Catch That Kid here at the Roxy, and it was like a big deal because, like, here's Max, like, he's an actor, like, there's a feature film, like, oh my gosh. And that was like, that was such a highlight. It's like, dang, he's doing real stuff. So he went away first, for sure. And then, you know, Miles, he went over to Boulder and studied. I went to Claremont down at Harvey Mudd. Actually, ironically, you know, Alumni Weekend's coming up. So going back down, which is always fun because it's our 15-year reunion.
Oh, that's
But Harvey Mudd and Claremont, and then Claremont McKenna for our master's. Mm-hmm. So we all went different ways. But it was funny because, like, we were kind of the idea of coming back to start a business was kind of precipitated in those adventures.
Did you ever talk about starting a wine business when you were kids? I mean, or just doing anything together, or not necessarily.
Max and I actually had a little entrepreneurial spirit. We played a lot of video games. I mean, we did a lot of things, but that was one of the things we did. And we would, like, collect items and sell items. Like, that was kind of on eBay back in, I don't know, we were in middle school? I don't even know what, you know, and before that, we did stands on the side of the road where we'd sell smoothies or candies. Oh, I remember Warheads. You know, we wouldn't clear a lot of fun. But, like, there's a little entrepreneurial spirit.
You were trying.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, but the wine thing was not real. It was just like, we always saw the vines, and we knew how much Max's parents and even Miles' parents poured their hearts into it. And, you know, they never really made their own wine. So it was always like, okay, someone else is farming it, but they're here on their property. And, you know, you're playing hide and seek, you're running through the vines, the dogs are chasing you. It's like really, you know, like present, but we never really thought we'd ever farm those grapes or make something of that, which is why I think it's such a cool dream, because, I mean, we were there, but we didn't realize, you know, our connection to it until later.
Wow.
And those dots, when they connected, were like, oh my gosh, what an amazing opportunity to go back to our childhood roots and build something from this and then share it around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of crazy now that I get to go around the globe presenting these wines, you know, on tables with some of the biggest names.
When did you start drinking wine?
You know, it was college. So in college, a friend's family, who's kind of how I got into wine, the Jacksons. I used to work for Kendall Jackson. That was like my summer internship. So I would learn, you know, all that, you know, business and financial planning, because I was studying math, econ, and physics, which I guess physics has nothing to really do with wine. Well, chemistry and, you know, science.
It's in there somewhere.
Right. But like, I checked the box by doing the internship, and I wanted, I was kind of shifting gears, more business-minded. But when I was doing that, you know, the employee store, I must have been 21, right? I must have.
I'm sure they checked.
Yeah, the employee store offered their wines, their mystery packs of wine, a case of wine for $35. And as a college kid on a college budget, $35 for a mystery pack of wine, of wines that were like $10 to $50 a bottle each.
Deal.
Scuff labels, whatever. A huge deal. So I'd buy 10 cases at a time.
Oh my gosh.
My mom would, yeah. My mom would.
And then were you selling them out on the street? No, your little stand?
So she loved this. My mom loved Chardonnay, and she loved Vintner's Reserve Chardonnay. So she took all the Chard. And all the reds is what we cared about. We would take that down to college, and it was our Jeopardy night. Every Thursday, I don't know why, how this, you know, tradition started, but we'd pop bottles of red wine and watch Jeopardy, and that was kind of our pre-game, start the evening activity. Yeah. So it was probably
and
junior
watch
year.
Jeopardy. Jeopardy is a little geeky.
Oh, no, so I went to Harvey Mudd. Harvey Mudd is full of nerds.
It's a very intense school, Christopher. Yeah, no, I mean,
you probably had classmates that were on Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah, actually, there were. There was one soon after, and I don't know how well he did, but
it was like, who was a classmate that went into the wine business?
Right.
And it was like, wait a minute.
Well, I do pour the wines at all the alumni weekends, and the alumni network's great. It's just like, it's such a fun, it's cool to keep all those connections alive. Like, I'm so lucky to connect back to Occidental and Sonoma County, but still to stay in touch with, you know, my college and that community. Like, this is where I feel like it was almost like natural to fall into wine, because it's another one of those really supportive communities. And I don't know, maybe I'm just, I'm very lucky. But to be able to meet people who you want to know the rest of your life, like,
it's amazing.
It's something to be truly grateful for.
Yeah. It took me a while to find my way to Sonoma County, but I wish I had been born here and raised here. I mean, you do. I think people I appreciate a lot the people that were born here and know how amazing this place is. Because I think, like you said, sometimes you kind of take it for granted if you're living in a place. So I love that folks like you understood that you had this sort of really amazing childhood, because you got to just run around and enjoy what we love about Sonoma County.
Well, and it's like, I would have never, even in those days, like, you know, finishing school, getting the master's degree, scrambling to figure out what to do, you know, there's so much pressure to go into like Bain Consulting or like maybe like a SpaceX company, like something, you know, using those nerdy degrees, which I'm proud of, by the way, I'm a full nerd.
I'm a nerd. It's totally fine.
Yeah. Well, when I was
good
a kid,
company.
I thought I'd be an astronaut. I loved space. I still love space. My dream is to work in that, you know.
Are you going to bring the first wine to space?
Well, that's what everyone asks. I mean,
that's
a
good idea.
You know, it doesn't seem like
we're trying to open up new markets.
Our ideal. But I'm sure people would enjoy wine in space. But no, I remember just always thinking, like, you know, of all these things to do, and then, you know, but actually having the opportunity to come back and combine kind of the education with the idea of building a business, you know, in the hometown I grew up in, like the roots, like, wow, it's just, I don't know, it's almost like it just kind of serendipity, right?
Yeah.
So what sort of kickstarted the idea for Senses? I mean, when did you, the three of you, really start kind of thinking, we need to do something together and
over Jeopardy?
Wine.
Well, no. You know, so college, we're drinking wine. We weren't, it was, again, seriously, not really an idea. I mean, at the time, like I said, the Jackson family, I was very close with them. I was actually, you know, dating Julia. And so got really close to the family, learned about wine. Obviously, I was drinking their, you know,
the
their mystery cases.
Yeah, the mystery only cases, the reds, all the non-Chardonnays.
But let's be honest, like Jess Jackson, Barbara Behnke, they were like second parents to me. So I really, again, it's like the mentorship, the cool, I call it the Kool-Aid. I was drinking the Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Sure, I was drinking the wine, but like I was really learning about the idea of starting a business and seeing in practice. And so I think the inspiration from the two of them really carried over to my classes and of course my work there. Man, I was learning about accounting, strategic cost management, COGS, you know, nerdy stuff. But I really could relate to it because I saw it through what Jess was talking about or Barbara was talking about or the deals that they were working on. And so I got like that behind the scenes like viewpoint on something much bigger than obviously what I'm doing at Senses. We're talking millions of cases. But that was the moment when in those moments combined into thinking, maybe before my student loans are, you know, due for payback, what if I actually go home and, you know, kind of, you know, try to start a business. And the master's, you know, class had an entrepreneurial finance course, and you can either write a term research paper or a business plan. And wow. So I convinced Miles, who was studying abroad in Australia, no joke, to write a business plan with me and, of course, some classmates to start a winery. And the dream was start with Miles Vineyard and then maybe raise some money and plant some grapes on a friend's property. You know, because in college, you think anything's possible. But we wrote this plan. And so the idea was like fully, well, not fully formed, but it was precipitated. And so when I went home, you know, like I said, before student loans were due, to work a crush, I was like, hey, I can take a minute. I can work a crush, get paid my 10 or 12 bucks an hour, you know, which was really a mind trip because here I was living at home. All my friends in college were getting, you know, silly, silly compensation packages. And I'm getting paid 12 bucks an hour to clean a sorting table and crush grapes. But that was really how we started the idea of Senses and talking to Miles. And then, of course, Max, you know, immediately reconnecting and talking about vineyards. So it was kind of this crazy happen chance, but a little bit of risk taking, to say the least.
Yeah.
It was all of that. Put it lightly.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
All of that.
We are going to take a quick break and we will come back for more conversation with Christopher Streeter of Senses. Good stuff with our guest, Christopher Streeter, co-founder, co-owner of Senses Wines. And so the three of you finally get it together to start yeah. this brand, which, I mean, it feels in hindsight, like, you know, obvious or such a great thing to do. But none of you are winemakers at this point,
yeah.
correct?
That's true. So, we had no experience.
Yeah, no.
Wait a minute. You cleaned sorting tables.
Okay. Well, that was as we started the company.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the LLC was formed. Well, you got to keep this in mind. I graduated from college May 2011. Miles was still in college until that end of December. And Max was acting, I don't know where he was. Mm-hmm. He was between home and LA. And you got to keep in mind, we had the LLC formed by December that year.
Wow.
And I was working Crush while doing that. And Miles' dad helped us. But like, we were 22, 23 years old. I was the old guy at 23.
Oh,
we had no experience. I mean, besides, you know, being at Kendall Jackson and Jackson yeah. family. And also keep in mind, post-college, everyone kind of has that invincibility aura. So,
it's a great time to try something,
yeah,
right?
So like, yeah. And also post-Great Recession. So like yeah. the world was in a really weird place. So mm-hmm. if you're going to take a shot, that was the time to take the shot.
So what was the vision? What did the business plan say?
Well, I feel like that was the one thing I contributed. I definitely put together a business plan. But I mainly took the one that we did in college and morphed it. The idea was, look, let's start with Miles of Vineyard. Let's, you know, put up some money. Man, we put up whatever we had. It wasn't much. But it was Miles, Max, and I just trying to figure out how to make some wine. And it was the Duttons who really helped us get started. So we made about 112 cases, actually at Dutton Estate. And 50 Chard, 50 Pinot. That was 2011. So working with them to taste the wines, barrels, figure out how to put them in bottles, like that was the real test. And keep in mind, this was while Max was acting, Miles was in school, and then I was working Crush. Luckily, 2011 wasn't a crazy harvest.
Right, yeah,
it was pretty
yeah.
subdued. So we figured that all out, and we were able to get wine in bottle. And like I said, the LLC. So in 2012, because we kept our jobs forever. But in 2012, when we finally got the product, we had the bottles, we had the label, we slapped together a website on PayPal. You know, we really bootstrapped it. But the vision was, let's start with, you know, the backyard, see what we could do. Eventually, ideally, you know, soon, and luckily it was the next year in 2012, take over Miles' couple acre vineyard that was being neglected. Someone lost all their, this is the truth, they lost all their money in the Great Recession, and they had to walk away from the lease to the parents. So the parents were left hanging dry. And we were crazy enough. I mean, Charlie Heintz, you know, one of the Chardonnays here, Charlie farmed it just to maintain, but the for a couple of years. But the parents wanted something better, like long term. And we were crazy enough to see the opportunity to take over Miles Vineyard, farm it ourselves, and make wine from that. So the business plan was start there, you know, kind of get some credibility, make a little bit more wine, see if we can sell it. But of course, because we had no experience, we had to make sure we had a good winemaking partner. So start with the Duttons, and then it evolved from there to Thomas. But once we got, you know, the product figured out, then we could start selling it. And we honestly had no idea besides just having fun, growing grapes, making wine, and seeing where it went. There was no fancy winery in mind, I'll tell
right,
you that.
Right, right. But Thomas Rivers Brown is fancy. So
he's fancy.
So
fancy pants, I like to call him.
So how does he get entered into the mix?
Yeah, you kind of just threw that out there.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Thomas, like, yeah, he's everybody's winemaker. But
well, it is crazy because he was like cover of Wine Spectator maybe the same years, like right before, I can't recall, and Winemaker of the Year in 2010 by Food & Wine. So here we are. You know, 100 cases in 2011, you know, maybe 600 in 2012, farming Miles Vineyard. But here's the real kicker. The next year, Max's Family Vineyard came on board. And, you know, I alluded to it earlier, but B.A. Terriot is considered globally as a Grand Cru vineyard in California. Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, mainly thanks to Ted Lemon at Literai. So when we were looking to farm that and take that over, that was no longer garage winemaking, as Miles and I and Max like to joke about. That was the real deal. So we had to get a good winemaker, and we had to know that we weren't going to mess that up. And so that was when the idea kind of started. And Max, I got to give Max credit for this. He knew that Thomas bought the vineyard across the street, Summa Vineyard. And that was like the number one vineyard from William Sellium, you know, sold for $150 a bottle back in the 90s. Really big deal. That was Bert and Ed's favorite wine. Still have some in my cellar, which I'm stoked on. But Max knew this and knew that Thomas was like also looking to buy some fruit from his mom's property. So why not kind of like consider Thomas as a possible winemaker, even though we had no real connection to him? And so, you know, Max set up through our neighbor, Scott Zeller, a meeting or like the idea about talking to Thomas. And Thomas at the time knew that the three Occidental boys were going to take over this vineyard, his prize Chardonnay vineyard. And so it's kind of like, again, a
he's
match
like, I should help
making.
Them.
So he's like, I should check these guys out.
Well, he's smart. He wants good fruit. And so that was how the meeting got set up. And, you know, at the time we were nervous, like shaking our boots. Like this is like, he makes Schrader, Maybach, Jones family, big stuff, like 100 point wines, most 100 point wines, almost any winemaker in the world. But his passion was Pinot and Chard on the coast, and in particular, the small town of Occidental. So we met him, and he was super down to earth, you know, from the South, good guy. And basically, after showing him some garage wine, literally over at Miles' house, because we couldn't afford to make it the year before, so we made it in the garage. He drank it and offered Miles a job on the spot, and he offered to make us wine if we sold him some fruit, and it was kind of a partnership, a handshake deal ever
amazing.
Since.
Yeah.
That's 2012. We were 24, 23 at this point.
But that's an important piece for
Paul Thomas is amazing.
Know? Yeah. And so he continues to be on the consulting side for
you. He's the winemaker. And I think that's an important distinction because he consults for all the Napa cabs and you know, I'm sure winemaker for some, but he is winemaker for Senses. And, you know, we learned so much from him. You know, it's kind of fun for us to introduce him to people out in this neck of the woods. Yeah. Like, this is our backyard. So there's a real nice synergy working with Thomas and his team. And the wines, you never have to worry at all about quality. I think he makes some of the best Chardonnays in the world.
He does. Speaking of, I'm very impatient.
Carissa gets thirsty on this show.
I know. So you should open some Chardonnay.
Yeah, you should.
Well, I brought some good Chardonnay. This is Charles Heintz Chardonnay. This is our, you know, our favorite. I mean, we love all of our wines, but like this is our favorite go-to. So.
And a long time partner for you, right?
Since the beginning. Yeah. I mean, he farmed Hillcrest before we took it over. He helped us learn how to farm. He told us basically, don't mess it up, because if you mess it up, you're going to mess up my vines. But Charlie, again, handshake deal. This is kind of cool. The three of us have handshake deals with practically everyone except who requires a contract. Mm-hmm. And that was a big thing from Charlie early on. He's like, you're only as good as your reputation. And I think that's so true, especially in this industry.
Yeah.
And so we've been working with him. We were on the wait list for his fruit, you know, since 2013. We got it in 2014. So that was really fast for a lot of, you know, Charles Heintz producers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And so how many Chardonnays do you make?
I've lost count on this. It's like eight or
lot.
It's like, we think we make 17 wines now, but we only really wholesale 5 to 6, and then the rest are for the mailing list. But Heintz is one of our bigger productions. Charles Heintz, El Diablo, those are in the Russian River Chard, which is a Dutton Ranch bottling. Those are our three main Chardonnays. And this one's just yummy. This I'm one's like so good. Texturally, minerally, like the acid, the fruit, like this is so Charlie Hines.
I feel like I'm an emoji with the little hearts as eyes right now. I'm like, hello, I know. We Chardonnay.
We're speechless now. We just,
hello, Chardonnay.
Well, and 22 was a big year. Yeah. It was a hot vintage, a warm vintage. So for you to get, you know, good acidity, good balance in wines, you had to really be on top of your vineyard game. But also Charlie's been doing this for like since 84.
Yeah.
He's one of the oldest vineyard growers out there. So like, you know, it shows in the consistency in the wine.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Okay. So, and I know we're going to have to take another break really soon, but you've also brought a Pinot Noir that is new to the brand, right?
This is a 23. Okay. We haven't even shown the 23s. They don't really exist in the world. But this is our newest bottling. It's called Dutton Bodega, and it's a flagship property just behind where Miles, Max, and I grew up, in the middle of Joy Road in a forest that literally touched my parents' property when I was a kid. And the Duttons have really poured their hearts in this property. And when you're out there, you can just feel it. You know, neighbors, some of the best vineyards. We are so excited to bottle it. It's like surrounded by redwood trees and has a view towards Bodega and Bodega Bay and the wind, everything there. It's going to be a really fun wine to share.
So I am so excited because I've seen the vision for the vineyard from when it was bare land.
Yeah.
And they were putting in the reservoir out there so there would be water. But this is the first time I'm trying a wine off that vineyard. So today's very...
Yeah, it's a
momentous.
Big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's exciting
deal.
To share it.
Is that their kind of Dutton's coolest climate site?
100%.
Yeah.
West Sonoma Coast through and through.
Yeah, it's kind of their foray outside of kind of the Green Valley and Russian River Valley, and they just loved the site. I mean, you can see the coast, you see the ocean on a clear day, which doesn't always happen because it's
pretty
foggy spot as well. But just a beautiful kind of rolling hills out there.
Last vineyards to get picked, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, which says a lot, given all the other sites that you work with. So, all right, quick break. We'll be back. Things up on today's Good Stuff with Christopher Streeter, co-founder, co-owner of Senses Wines. Carissa's opening the Pinot.
Hello, Pinot.
Hello, nice. Pinot from Bodega Dutton.
Dutton Bodega.
Dutton Bodega.
West Sonoma Coast.
It's so good. And 23, which is a phenomenal vintage. And this is the first vintage
of that wine. It's exciting. Really exciting. So, okay. We love your wines. We found out a little bit about your wines, but how can other people find out about your wines, try your wines?
That's a great question.
Go to events.
I always feel very guilty on this question. So we do distribute around the world. So these are global, right? Japan, UK, Korea. These are some of our bigger markets, but we're all across Europe. We're in Jordan, of all places. You know, Mexico, obviously Canada, but it's kind of a weird time for that. So there is wine around the world, number one. Top wine shops, top restaurants for sure. Domestically, same thing. We like to distribute the wines across the U.S. To the markets that, you know, are favorite. But really, it's the mailing list. I mean, people sign up. You won't have access to the wine right away. Sometimes it's a couple years. Sometimes it's less. It just depends on the wait list. But we love to bring new people into Senses, and that's the best way to find it.
Okay, so people can't come and taste. They can't run around your vineyards.
I mean, we're a team of like five. Yeah. We have a vineyard team. We have a winemaking team. My sister's doing the back office. Max's wife helps. Like, it is really core, lean. But we do offer tastings when we can. You know, whether it's local or vineyard or mainly in the local area at the facility. The best thing is to know someone who has access to the wines or to find them.
Okay, well, you can give Christopher a hard time on that at hello.
Guilty.
At senseswines.com if you have questions. Website senseswines.com as well, which is a good way to find out a little bit more about all the wines we haven't had time to talk about. I'd love to know, just kind of like before we wrap things up entirely, like, I mean, What sort of advice would you give to somebody if they were just wrapping up college, maybe they grew up here, they want to come back home, start a business? Like, what's your best advice?
It's funny because all the advice I got in college was don't go into the wine industry. I mean, it's crazy to say, like, that was, you know, all the way up the chain to, like, you know, lower down. So I wouldn't say don't like, don't go in the wine industry. I think the wine industry is a great place, and there's a lot of fun to be had. It's a very tough time in the market. There's no doubt about it. It's a lot harder to start a winery than people think. It could cost a lot more than you think or take a lot more sweat equity than you think. So if you're going to do wine in particular, do it because you love it and because you have a connection to it. And if you're going to start in Sonoma County, you're going to need some resources because the fruit costs, even since we started, have like doubled, tripled, quadrupled in some cases. Like, that's insane. But for business and coming out of school, you got to take the risk. If you have that itch, you got to go for it. A lot of my advice always is, you know, you have a job, stay in that job while you kind of precipitate the idea and brainstorm the idea, because it's a lot less risky in those cases. But I fully support people taking risk. I think it's one of the most rewarding things I personally have ever done, and for those who end up doing it, even if it fails, who reflect back and are appreciative of it.
But the hands-on experience seems also pretty key, like getting dirty, getting in there, like figuring doing out how it. Things actually
and
happen.
That was, you know, we had to work our way through the industry in order to reinvest in Senses, not just financially, but like human capital wise. You gotta know a little bit about what you're doing besides just like taking a jump, for sure.
So I have to know, when you, Miles, and Max get together now, which is probably not as often given everyone's crazy schedules, but like, what do you guys do? How do you hang out?
I mean, it's really generally meals for sure, or the vineyards. I mean, most of the work stuff you can kind of deal with separately. So when we're hanging out, we're eating and cooking or you know, drinking. Max loves to hunt, so he's got a lot of great food, a lot of fresh fish. Miles loves to cook, great combo. But Miles and I tend to go backpacking and hiking, all that. Max and I, you know, it's more just, it's probably
food and hanging out.
Yeah, it's a social side.
Which, of course, you need great wine to accompany all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
like the Dutton Bodega, right? I mean,
oh my God.
What's so cool about this one is redwood spice. You truly can taste the redwood spice.
It is stunning. I'm super excited to try this.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense given the surroundings. So, well, thank you so much, Christopher, for joining us. So much more to talk about. But have you back on.
I know, we're going to do a part
two. Such a pleasure. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Studio part two, Senses.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
I think I might already know what your Tuesday night wine could be.
Don't bother me. I'm still drinking the Senses
wine. It's not going to last that long. So you're going to have to order up quick.
I know. Seriously. Oh, my gosh. Well, there's no doubt. I'm totally loving. I mean, well, I love the Chardonnay, the Heinz Chardonnay. Obviously, that's a great vineyard site. Beautiful, beautiful Chardonnay. But, of course, I've got to drink the Dutton Bodega because it was my first foray. So I'm glad he left me a bottle. I'm going to open it on Tuesday night, if I can wait that long.
I don't think you should wait.
Maybe it's going to be my Saturday night wine, and then I'm going to have to find a new Tuesday night wine. I mean, that could happen.
It could happen. They make really nice wines, obviously. But I mean, for me, that Terroir Vineyard has always been very special, the Chardonnay in particular. So
yeah, is that what you're doing?
That would be my almost every night wine, but Tuesday for sure. Yeah, I mean, really special spot. I love, you know, anybody out there and Steve included, that like just has, they just don't listen to the naysayers. They're like, no, we can do this.
I will be honest, when Steve first took me out to the Bodega, Dutton Bodega Vineyard before it was planted, he definitely had more vision. Him and Joe had more vision for it than I was seeing at the time, because I was just like, it's cold out here. There's no water. Like, you're going to have to put in a reservoir. Yeah. Like, it's a lot of effort. And now it's just beautiful out there. We'll have to take you out there.
How many acres?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Small, medium, large?
Small-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, smallish.
And they will eventually be using some of the grapes for Dutton Goldfield?
Yep, for Dutton Goldfield. Okay. Yeah, and there's a couple other kind of small producers that I think are working a little bit with the fruit. So
very exciting.
More to come. I don't want to like let go of all the surprises.
No.
I don't know what
no.
I can say or not say. So I just won't. I'm just going to go back to drinking the
Senses. This is taking a very different turn.
I know, seriously.
I don't know what I can say.
I don't know. The mystery, shrouded in mystery.
But I love that, the story of the three friends just growing up here, coming back together, like the different experiences they've had in the world. I mean, Max is a very busy, successful actor, and it's just, it's a cool story.
No, it's a great story, and you're absolutely right. Like, that's the story of Sonoma County. It's just, like, loving the region and then finding your spot in it and how lucky to grow up with those friendships and be able to now do something really cool together.
So, I love it.
I do, too.
All right.
Such a good show.
Everybody out there, check out senseswines.com, and from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.